in Jesus' name.
If you agree with that, give the Lord praise. Amen. You can be seated. Be seated today. God bless you. Well, it's probably, it is no accident whatsoever that the Holy Spirit led me to, I believe, speak on this specific topic today, but on this series. We entered into a series just 3 weeks ago that God is greater than our fears. God is greater than our fears. Hello? And fears will rear their ugly head, and trust me, God is greater than our fears. Now, I was told that in the first service I spoke really, really fast for some reason. I'm not sure why I felt the urgency of that. Maybe it's because we were live streaming for the very first time in our church's history. Somebody give God praise for that. That's kind of cool, kind of fun. And so we actually have folks watching at home right now as we speak, some of our folks, and then even some of my relatives and other folks. And so, hi, family, you need Jesus. I love you. No, anyway, we're having a good time this morning. As we talk about change today, know this, change happens. I'm talking about the fear of change. Now, I set this up months ago that I would speak on the fear of change on this specific Sunday. It's because I knew this was all going to happen. I'm not that good. I wish I was that good. Holy Spirit is that good. How many of you realize that the world changes? It's constantly changing. That information in and of itself changes so rapidly. Nowadays, information is doubling every single day. The information we have, technology is changing. A lot of things around us are changing. We've got to embrace the change. And we've got to, let me just say this about the changes that we're dealing with right now regarding everything that's going on. Some of you might be jumping online and on Facebook or whatever, or watching the news. And so no matter what camp you're in, and it's okay, it's all right, because we've never been here before, or at least we've never been here before, okay? And so if we don't handle it all perfectly, can we give each other a little bit of a break? And so let's take a deep breath. None of you did that. Let's take a deep breath and breathe deep the breath of God, and let's have a peace over us. But let me say this. I don't know which side of the because it seems like everything in the world polarizes us today. We don't have anything that unites us. I remember on 9/11, everybody became united really quickly, but it seems like this hasn't really united us. It's divided us even that much more. And so we got folks on one side going, we're not freaking out enough. We're not paranoid enough. We're not doing enough. Then we got people on the other side going, this, no big deal. Whatever side of the camp you're on, can I give you some word from the Word of God? Okay, just a few of them want to hear the Word of God on that. No matter which side you're on, let me just speak to it. Here's what the Word of God says for those of you, no matter which side of that you're on. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. I don't care if your understanding is it's overblown, or if your understanding is we're not freaking out enough. Whatever your understanding is, it's weak compared to God's understanding. His ways are higher, His thoughts are higher, and we can trust in God. And I'm speaking really fast again. It's because I'm excited. I know that changes are happening left and right. I know that our world goes through changes. This is, maybe in our lifetimes, this is kind of a new 9/11 in a sense. I'm believing, God, that this would be a time for the church to shine brighter than ever before. That we would be saltier than ever before. That we would be more loving than ever before. It's okay, no matter what's going on, we can still be good to one another. We can still show the love of Jesus to one another. I know that information and changes are happening left and right, and I'm grateful for a lot of our changes. How many of you are grateful for changes? Some changes. I'm grateful that I have now on my phone the GPS. I don't have to open a Thomas Brothers map guide. Anybody under 30 is like, what is he talking about? We used to have these maps that we have to open them. You never could fold them back. I'm grateful that I don't have to worry about that anymore. It's right here. On this, it's convenience. There's so much convenience here. It's not even funny. I got my Bible here. I can order a pizza here. Some of you are like, please do that right now. That'd be great. It's all right here. It's amazing technology. So I'm kind of grateful that that's all there. I'm grateful my calendar's there. There's reminders that pop up. This is a wonderful tool. It's just a tool. It's a method, if you will. I'm grateful that through things like this, as times have changed, that we now have this thing called FaceTime. I mean, a lot of people use Skype or some other thing. I like FaceTime myself. When my kids went away to college, I was so grateful for FaceTime. It didn't feel like they were several states away. It was just, they were right there. But I can remember growing up as a child, that's in the same thing. Anyway, I remember growing up that my father would be in the military. He was in the Navy, and he would on a reel-to-reel. Remember reel-to-reel tapes? On a little miniature reel-to-reel tape, he would put that on, and he would record all of the stuff that was going on. He would send us a little update, and you know whatever was going on at the ship. And today I went and did this, and it would be all those things. I don't remember all the things that he would update us. But as a kid, we would listen to it. And we'd hear all the update from my dad. He would record it, he'd put it in the mail, and we'd get it about 3 weeks later. It was always like three-week-old information. And then we would flip it over when we were done listening to it, and then we would record back stuff from us, from the kids, and we would say things to dad, and we would send it back to him, and he'd get it about. The process was about 2 months long. Thank God for FaceTime. Thank goodness that we have this opportunity. And not only that, but we used to do tricky things. Because remember when long distance was expensive? So dad would call home and he would say, long distance call from, you know, Methuselah. And my mom knew that he wasn't coming home for another week. They had these code words that they worked out so they wouldn't have to pay for collect calls all the time. Will you accept a collect call from Methuselah? She's like, nope, click. And she knew he'd come home a week later. It's amazing how technology has fixed our communication skills. Now we can just send a text. I'll be home next Tuesday. That's amazing to me. Things change. Things are changing rapidly around us. And I know this, the enemy likes to use change to bring about fear and insecurity and anxiety. And here's what I know about, I'm not a medical physician, but I've read a lot of things over this last week. And here's what I do know, fear and anxiety and those things mess with your immunities. So if you want your immunity to be strong, it's time to walk in faith and not walk in fear and not walk in anxiety, being anxious for nothing, the Bible says. We should be anxious for nothing, but we should pray about everything. And so what's important today as we think about change is to know that the impact of our church as we're going through changes, our message doesn't change. The methods might change, but the message is pure, is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's our message. We want to bring a message of love, a message of grace. And so I want to, with that thought, spend the most of my time talking about, can we as a church adapt to our changing culture in order to bring about the same message? The answer to that is a resounding absolutely. You see it right now before your very eyes. That little machine right there that nobody's sitting in front of is recording me because we've adapted. Our method shifted literally this week. There are churches that will not meet for an entire month because they cannot meet. They're only going to be able to meet online. Everybody smile at me. I love seeing your smiley faces. I'm grateful that you're here this morning because it helps me preach. One, yeah, I've preached this message with empty chairs plenty of times, but I'm glad you're here. That's what I'm talking about. Changes. We've adapted. We're adapting to the changes around us. We're doing everything we can to stay relevant in this world where the message is the same, but the methods kind of shift from time to time. Our message is the same, but our method can change. So with regard to our message, this really cannot change. We know that it's Jesus Christ. He died on the cross. You know, 1700 years, the Apostle Creed has been around. And it is literally the core of what we as Christians believe. Let me read you to the most pure statement, I believe, about what we believe. There's very little in this that you could even mess with. Christians all around the world believing this, the Apostle Creed. It says this, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of a Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. I've got a little ring going on. Can we get rid of the ring in my monitor or just kill it? Thank you. He suffered under Pontius Pilate. He was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. The third day, he rose again from the dead, and he ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, which means the universal church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. That is such a succinct, pure statement of what it is that is our message that we're to give out. Now, there's some other things that we could maybe, you know, potentially add to it in terms of doctrine, but that is a very pure statement of what we believe. I believe that today, the core of this is that we stand on a solid rock. Here's what the scripture says. I, the Lord, do not change. The world around us changes, but God does not change. He's the same, what? Yesterday, today, and forever. And so our goal should be to put our feet on the rock of the one who doesn't change. A.W. Tozer writes this. He says, for God to change, God would need to go from better to worse, or from worse to better. He cannot do either. For being perfect, he cannot become perfect. If he were to become less perfect, he would be less God. You know, the psalmist said, I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and my horn of salvation, my stronghold. I love the metaphor of the rock, this solid foundation that doesn't move, that I can trust in, I can stand upon. Though everything around me is sinking sand, on Christ, the solid rock, I stand. We stand on the solid rock today. Here's what I want us to see. When we enwrap the enemy's schemes against us, when he comes with the fear of change, we realize fairly quickly if our feet are planted on the rock, those of us in the church this week, as stuff is swirled around us, if our feet are planted on the rock, we realize it doesn't matter what comes our way. Our feet are on the solid rock and we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to fear the change that's coming at us. And it comes a million miles an hour, it seems like. We're cemented spiritually to the rock of Jesus Christ. And we're literally living out what Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount, that if you build your house on the rock instead of the sand, that when the winds come and the waves come, it doesn't matter which direction they come from, you're anchored in Christ. You and I are anchored in Christ. We're anchored in Christ. We can trust the solid rock. He's our shield. He's our horn of salvation. I believe that nothing really matters in our lives. Nothing that really matters can change, because God is the only thing that really matters. Everything else changes. God is immutable. He doesn't change. And the mature Christians realize that we can calmly cement ourselves onto the rock of Jesus Christ, and we don't have to fear change because God never changes. Now let's turn from the message, because that's pure. We know what we need to be speaking. We know that we need to be operating in love. We need to be forgiving. Whether we do it or not, it's a different story. But we know what the message is. The second thing is our method. Our method might change a little bit. It's okay that our methods change as long as our message doesn't change. Paul said, I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I might share in its blessings. Notice, please, that Paul said, I will change the method again and again and again to communicate the message the best way I can. Whatever crowd I'm speaking to, I want to communicate the gospel. It doesn't matter where I'm at. I want to make sure that I'm able to give the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The method shifts. Let me just say this. Here we are, church. We're having church. Can the church be the church when we can't have church? God help us, or else we're not the church. We're really the church when we activate and leave from here. In here, this is like the locker room. This is like the pump you up, Newt Rockne kind of speech, go out there, win one for the Kipper kind of a thing. But we really become activated as a church when we leave these four walls and we start operating in the love and of God to the people around us. He said, I've become all things so that I can, by all any possible means, save people. He says, I'll change my method no matter what method works, by whatever means. It doesn't matter the method. Our methods here have changed. I used to wear a suit. Thank you for your laughter. I stopped wearing suits because none of you were. I'm like, what's wrong with these people? They're in flip-flops and Chargers jerseys. And I'm in a suit. So I thought, you know what? I'll be in a sweatshirt next week. Why not? Our methods change, but our message doesn't change. Hello. Things shift a little bit. It's okay. We used to have pews as a church here at the church. I'm grateful we don't have pews anymore. We can now do stuff in this room outside of just having church. We have chairs. Things change. And when I came here 17 years ago, a lot of things were different. Many of you were here, I think, decor-wise. I'm not trying to rip on anything. I'm just being honest. Decor-wise, we were stuck at about 1979. Most everything was pink. I'm not even joking. There were people that argue with me about whether the back wall was pink or not. Because this wall was pink and that one didn't look pink. They said, no, it's the reflection. Until I put a white stripe up the wall, they went, whoa, that's pink. I had to prove it. This is what I'm saying. I began to make little changes. And interesting, when you begin to make changes, when people get used to certain things, they become resistant to change. We had a banner, several banners, but we had a banner hanging on that wall over there. It was a baby blue banner with a white dove on it. It was a baby blue felt banner with a white. Remember felt? Okay. We were just cleaning up. We knew we were going to paint the walls and we were just cleaning stuff up. And so I took down the banner and I had someone say to me, "You're not kicking the Holy Spirit out of the church." No, I'm not, but I'm taking down this banner that, by the way, is really dusty. 1970. It's amazing as we can get attached to changes, and if we're not careful, we'll get attached to a method and we'll forget about the message. It's okay to adjust. It's okay. We had a payphone in the foyer. Some of you don't even know what a payphone is. We had a thing you put money in it to make a phone call. But this was even different than the payphones that you're thinking of. This was a different kind of, this was where you put a quarter in the top of the phone and it was a dialing phone. We used to have to dial the phone and you put a quarter in and you dial the phone. And it was sitting on a little, right about where the TV is out there, it was sitting on a little pedestal that stuck out that far, just the right height for a 12-year-old to bump his head. And it was amazing. And I thought, well, what is this thing sitting here? And it was a telephone, and then underneath it was a phone book. And I said, can I get rid of this? And they're like, well, it's been broken for years. I'm like, broken? Well, I guess I can get rid of it. So I pull the phone book out. I go, is it okay if I get rid of the 1996 phone book? We got rid of the phone book. And they said, we never use that phone. They just go in the office and use the office phone because that phone's never worked. I'm like, it's never worked. Well, that's kind of weird. So I go to I unplugged it and I pull it out. Sure enough, as I pull it out, I look on the back of this phone and there's a switch. It had been off for years. I said, you know, this thing's not on. What? That thing works? Sorry, my voice changed. That happens. Speaking of fear of change. I know this, through the years, cultures changed a lot. Musical styles changed. We used to sing in a hymnal, right? Nothing wrong with that. I got no problem with that. Love hymns. But we used to know what hymn was what. You say number 98, we knew what number 98 was. If you grew up in church, you kind of knew. Oh, yeah, we're singing that one. I'm kind of grateful that we were able to sing with the words behind. It's kind of nice. It actually makes me feel like I'm singing and I look and I'm like, well, you're looking this way. It's like, it's not about me. You're wondering what the words are. Back in the day when I would lead and we'd have a hymnal, everybody would be looking down. I'm like, are these people worshiping or are they reading? I don't know what's going on. It just was different. Things change. Are you hearing me? And so as they change, technology's changed. Obviously, you see technology's changed. Here's what the Bible teaches us in terms of not fearing change. That godly wisdom would be that we would embrace change from time to time. Isaiah said, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a what? A new thing. What if God wanted to do a new thing? What if he wants to do a new thing here in this body? What if he wants to do a new thing in your house? What if all of this that's going on right now is God is doing a new thing? We just don't know what he's up to, but we know he's working. Amen? What if that's what it's all about? Forget the former things. We're promised that God will give us new methods and show us new ways to do what he's called us to do. But we don't need to fear the changes. God says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. And I will counsel you with my loving eye. I'll tell you this. I do get concerned, however, when we just reduce the changes to a formula. to another formula. Every once in a great while, I go to a pastor's conference, and there's another pastor with another new formula, another new method, another new way. Nothing wrong with the new method. Nothing wrong with the new way. It's absolutely a wonderful thing. Doesn't necessarily mean, because what happens, we go to those conferences many times, we come away, and we'll buy their book, and we got to implement their new method. Well, what if their new method was for their church, but not for our church? What if the Holy Spirit wants to do something completely different here than He wants to do in that church over there? I'm not going to be tossed around by the trends necessarily. I want to be right in the middle of God's will for my life. I want us to, as a church, pursue God. And so there might be some things come methods-wise that swing us way out here or swing us way out here. That's okay, but the reality of it is we want to stay right in the middle and trust God and believe God. Our methods might change, but our message stays the same. I know this beyond a shadow of a doubt, that no method, no matter what, no matter how good, no matter how good my message is today, I believe I've stumbled, I've probably messed up a bunch of words. I know Holy Spirit's filtering them and making them all awesome to you, but I guarantee you, if I play this back, it's like going to be, wow, I don't know what you were saying there. I know Holy Spirit's at work. Doesn't matter how polished I am. Doesn't matter if we get all of our technical, every once in a while now technical glitches happen just to keep me humble. Just so I know that, you know, life is real. Nothing happens in a vacuum. As I'm going about changes, there are some times where it just doesn't go my way. And my desire is that when change happens, that I can embrace it and trust God in the midst of it. There are some great worship songs we sing nowadays. There have been changes. Every once in a while, I love going back to the old song because that's a change. If I do a whole weekend of hymns, all the young people will go, man, those new songs were cool. We ought to do them then, okay? We'll make that happen. Here's what I know. I want the worship team to come. I want you to come very quickly, if you don't mind. In terms of embracing change, I know this. A.W. Tozer says this in his book, this book that I'm reading on in the Pursuit of God. He says one of the biggest demonstrations of an unchanging God is that He brings with it the fire of God. If you think of all through Scripture, when God shows up, it's powerful. When God showed up to Moses, He came in what? A burning bush. The fire. Burning bush. The children of Israel, He came through the wilderness by a pillar of fire. The fire glowed between the cherubim and the Holy of Holies above the Ark of the Covenant. They called that the Shekinah glory of God. When God sent the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, how did He show up? In tongues of fire. I believe this, no matter how tricky we get, how clever we get, what our lights look like, whether our screen works or doesn't work, if we're not preaching the message with the power and the glory of God in it, then we're messing up. If there's no love behind it, we've got to speak with the power. I might come to you with enticing words of man's wisdom. I might come to you with eloquence. I might come up with a phrase or two that you might tweet out, but the reality of it is there's no power of God behind it. It's just a tweet. And that's about all it's worth. We've got to pursue the power of God in our lives in the midst of change. As a church, no one will fear the changes that we make. No one's going to fear the methods that we use as long as the power of God is behind it. I was called out years ago when we started doing the Easter. This is our 10th year of our Easter egg hunt and all that. And someone said to me, what does the Easter bunny and Easter eggs have to do with Easter? The answer is, help me. Nothing. Not in terms of the message. Not any more than a fish sandwich was what Jesus was all about on the side of that mountain when He fed the 5,000.
Come on.
It wasn't about a fish sandwich. It was about keeping the people there so He could preach to them. Are you? So if you want to look at it that way, what's the Easter egg hunt and the Easter eggs all about? It's a fish sandwich. We're just baiting the hook a little bit different. By the way, just so you know, I am fully aware that everything's fluid and things are changing, and I don't even know what Easter looks like right now. I know what I've planned. I know what we have planned. And I don't know if the Easter egg hunt's going to happen or not happen. Well, no, let me back up. I don't know if it will happen on that day. Here's what I do know. God's setting something up. I don't know what He's doing. All I know is we are poised as a church in a couple of weeks hopefully during Easter weekend. If not then, it'll be a couple weekends after that. But we are going to give this community the great big hugest hug of love from Jesus Christ. And this is going to be the time that this community needs it.